So I'll try to remember to speak English while I'm with you. Take your Bibles, please, and I want you to find 2 Kings chapter 17. No, I'm sorry, 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm sorry. This morning, I want to take a few minutes and talk about this thing that we call faith promise giving, or better yet, a biblical word for it would be grace giving. My personal definition of faith promise or great giving, grace giving, is when God's people, that's you, step out by faith and give so that God's servant, these missionaries that you have in your bulletin, can do God's work, that is planting churches, seeing folks saved, seeing that church developed, discipling people. God's people, in turn, can trust God to meet their needs so they can continue to give. Faith promise is basically made up of three biblical concepts. The first concept is found in Philippians chapter 4. It is a biblical concept, biblically correct, to give to missions or give to missionaries. Paul was a missionary. He was sent out by the local church in Antioch, and his job was planting churches. Of course, he saw souls saved. He discipled those souls, but his main job was planting or starting local churches. The second concept is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we see the concept of giving by faith. Let me see, I'm getting 1st and 2nd all mixed up today. 2 Corinthians, I'm here, just a second. I've got a new Bible. Okay. We give by faith, and faith honors God. When we step out by faith and trust God, He is honored and He is glorified and He gives grace. See, grace, God's grace, is enacted when we place our faith in what thus saith the Lord. We're saved by faith. We're saved by grace through faith. We trust God for what He said and He saves us. It's the same way with giving, same way with living.
Yeah.
And then the third concept is giving and receiving. We see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, how that we ought to give according as let every man according to as he had purposed in his heart, so let him give. And we see that if you give sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you give bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. And this is talking about offering. So we can expect God to meet our needs. If we sow in these offerings, God says He'll meet our needs. If we believe that by faith, God's grace intervenes and allows us to continue to give. So it's made up of three concepts: giving to missions, giving and receiving, and giving by faith. Now, do we have an example of this? Yes, we do, right here in 1 Kings chapter 17. When you find it, I want you to stand, please, in reverence to the Word of God. Now, I'm a little different. I'm a little taller than most preachers you have here, especially when I preach in Latin America. They're all short, most of them. And we were there with a group of pastors in Nicaragua one time, and we were in this very poor area, and we were giving candy to the kids. And one little girl just staring at me like this. I asked her, I said, "Tell me, in your life, have you ever seen a gringo as tall and ugly as me?" She said, "No." But most time, the preacher will read his text, and then he'll pray. Well, I do it backwards, or actually, I do it opposite. We'll pray before we read the scripture. Why is that? Because Psalm 119, verse 18 said, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Amen. In Spanish, it's a poem.
Abre mis ojos y miraré la maravilla de tu ley.
It's because we're dealing this morning with God's word. This is not just a book, even though it's the book of books. This is not just a great work of literature, even though it's the greatest work of literature ever written. This is not just a book of religion, even though the religion of this book is pure. This is, in fact, God's word. And we must have the Holy Spirit to guide us for us to understand this word. So let's bow our heads and pray, and we'll ask God's blessings on the reading of his word and ask him to guide us this morning. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to thank you for what we've already experienced, the sweet fellowship of your people, the singing of your praises. But Lord, we pray now that as we look into your word, that you would open our spiritual eyes and that we would behold wondrous things in your law. Father, I pray that as the messenger this morning, you would help me. I need your help this morning, Father, so that what I say will be honoring and glorifying to you. Lord, we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, as you're standing, 1 Kings chapter 17, let's see. Let's start in verse number 10. So he arose, we talk about Elijah here, and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. You may be seated. Don't worry, I'm not going to run to aisles. I'm coming to get my water. All of the flowers and the trees are in bloom. They are so beautiful, but they're wreaking havoc with my throat. And all God's children said amen, right? Faith promise, grace giving is when God's people step out by faith and give so that God's servants can do God's work. God's people can in turn trust God to meet their needs so they can continue to give. And we'll use this for illustration in just a minute. So I'll keep it. Is it biblical? Yes, it's biblical. We've talked about the biblical. It's great to have the Bible study. I just taught this in a modular in Honduras to a group of students who were probably church planters there in Honduras, maybe some going to other countries. It is a biblical process by which the local church extends its reach unto the world through worldwide missions. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's not a prosperity gospel. Thank you, sir. It's a way that God is honored because it's a life of faith. We see here in 1 Kings chapter 17 an example of faith, promise, or grace giving. Elijah had just stood before that wicked king Ahab, and he preached a very short message, no rain until I say so, and he left. Elijah didn't mean that, Ahab didn't worry too much about it. He was so arrogant, but after a while, no rain, begin to get worried. But Elijah was down over there by the brook. Ravens were coming in. See, God didn't need anyone to take care of Elijah. Amen. God was taking care of him. He was sending him a Big Mac in the morning and a Big Mac in the afternoon. I know that's not okay. I don't like Big Macs. I'd rather have maybe I had a good hamburger yesterday. But anyway, I know it wasn't a ham sandwich. I know that. But God took care of his servant. So why did he choose to use that little widow woman? Personally, I believe that was a faithful, God-fearing woman. And she was on her knees praying. Lord, you know that our food is running out. You know that there's no hope. Unless you intervene, my family and I will starve. Thy will be done. And God saw that prayer. God honored that prayer. So he sent Elijah down to Zarephath. And as he walked into the city, he saw the lady. God had prepared and commanded the ravens to feed him. And then he told Elijah that he had commanded a widow woman. In verse 9, it said, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So in comes Elijah. He sees a widow woman. She's gathering sticks. She's about to make a fire. He calls out to her, ma'am. Okay, I'm from the South, okay? Everybody's ma'am. My granddaughter's ma'am, okay? Some ladies say, don't call me ma'am. Well, I'm sorry, everybody's ma'am. Ma'am, can you bring me a little bit of water? She said, okay. Now, that was a sacrificial gift. But she had it. That was according to her power. And 2 Corinthians, Paul talked about those Christians in Macedonia who gave according to their power and beyond their power. She had in her power water to give. You think, water? I mean, I've got a bottle I just finished, got another one down here. But remember, 3 years, no rain. That was a sacrificial gift from that lady. But she had it. She had it in her budget. So off she went to get the water. And while she was going, Elijah called to her and said, oh, ma'am, bring me a little cake while you're coming. I can just see her. She stops. Turns around to the preacher. Said, preacher, you don't understand. I've got a little bit of water, but right now all I have is just a little meal and little oil. I'm going to make one piece of bread for my son and for me, and we're going to die. That's all we have. That cake was beyond her power.
Yeah.
She did not have it. What did Elijah do? Elijah said in verse 13, and Elijah said unto her, fear not. I did a study on that little term, fear not. And it's interesting. It almost always precedes a command to do something. Do something out of the ordinary. Fear not. Elijah said, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me, therefore, a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after that for thee and thy son. See, Elijah didn't ask for the whole thing. You know, some of these preachers today said, send me all your money and God's going to bless you. No, that's not the way it works. Excuse me, water's good. He said, bring me a little cake first. You don't have a lot, but out of what you have, bring me a little cake first. And then God's promise. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Here's God's promise. She put her faith in what thus saith the Lord. So she did. She went back. She scooped up some of that meal out of that barrel. She looked at it and said, I don't think it's going to be enough. She looked at that oil. Said, there's a little bit here. I don't think it's going to be enough to make a cake for my family, but I'll do what God says. So she put that oil on there. She made that cake. She baked it. She came and gave it to the preacher, Elijah. And she went back. She looked down in that barrel. There's enough. You know, I don't think it's going to be enough to make the preacher's bread tomorrow, but there's enough now. So she scooped that up. She got that oil and said, there's enough. And so she put that oil on there. She made that cake. She baked it. She ate it. Next morning, she came back. I don't know, but there's enough for the preacher. I don't know if it's going to be enough for me or not, but let's do the preacher's meal. Let's do the preacher's meal. So he made that. She got that oil. Said, there's not much in there, but we're just going to do it. So she did it. And she made that cake. She baked it. Took it to the preacher. Gave it to the preacher. She came back. Looked in that barrel. Said, there's enough. Now, did God fill up that barrel? I don't think he did. I don't think he ever filled it up. I don't think he ever filled up that cruse of oil. I think he gave her just what she needed every morning. Why is that? Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 says this, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You know what? I think after about a week, she was excited. She went on there and said, God's going to do it again. She made that cake for the preacher, put that oil in there, baked it, braved into it, all the while singing, great is thy faithfulness. There you go, preacher. Great is thy faithfulness. Yep, that's enough. And God continued to meet her need. You know, it's interesting. The Bible said that in... let's see here. Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 17. God gave a promise in verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. God met the need. Now, what did I say about faith promise? Faith promise is when God's people step out by faith. That little widow lady stepped out by faith. Elijah said, fear not. Fear not. Just do what God says. She stepped out by faith and she gave more than she could, more than all her neighbors thought she could, but she gave. She gave to the preacher, and then God met her need so that every day she could make that cake for the preacher. God continued to meet her need so that she could continue to give and so that God's man can continue to do God's work. That's how faith promise or grace giving works. We give and God gives. And God, who was honored in all that? Did Elijah get honored? I don't think so. He was just getting breakfast every day. I mean, we're down in Alabama, we call them hoe cakes. If you put oil and meal together, you get a hoe cake. Did a little widow woman? I mean, she did a very honorable thing, but God was honored in all that because God proved himself faithful. God is faithful, and we serve the same God today. Amen. Now, let's go back over to 2 Corinthians We'll look at this for a second. We see that it is a biblical concept. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul says in verse number 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Grace. What is grace? Grace is God's unmerited favor to man. And grace empowers us to do the impossible. By grace are you saved through faith. It's impossible for a man to gain eternal life. But as we place our faith in what thus saith the Lord, God is honored and God's grace is activated in our lives and he saves us. When that little widow woman believed what God said, God's word out of the mouth of the prophet, God's grace was activated in her life and God did the impossible and fed her and her family and the man of God for many days until he brought rain again. God's grace does the impossible in our lives. Verse 2. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. I heard a pastor one time, that's the only way a Baptist can be liberal in his giving. Amen. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. That's the key. They gave themselves to the missionary. See, when these missionaries come through, you're going to have this missionary to the Ukraine very soon. He's going to come through. Yeah. And he's going to go to a people that are in great need. You can participate with him. But when you give yourself to him, don't just take his prayer card. Learn about him. Find out about his family. Find out if he has kids. Communicate with them. Wow, what a blessing it is when we get in the mail, when we got mail, birthday cards for our kids. I know that church was thinking about us and our kids. And they will communicate with my wife. Get to know this missionary. Give yourselves unto the missionary and to the Lord. That's the second concept of faith promise, giving by faith. Beyond their power. And then giving and letting God meet the need. Chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. Verse 6 says, "But I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." I have a great illustration about that. One year we were on furlough and we were living and we got an apartment in the town where I grew up. My parents were still there. My daddy grew up on a farm down in West Alabama, and after he was married, he always had a garden, raised black-eyed peas, corn, and cucumbers, and butter beans. He ate the butter beans. I didn't eat the butter beans. But this year, they loved to go. My mother and dad loved to go camping and go fishing, and they'd always go in the springtime. Well, this spring, around planting time, he was out camping. Now, my daddy had a walk-behind Gravely tractor. You might know what that is. It's a little, it's like, looked like a lawnmower kind of thing. And you go one row, and then you turn around and do another row. And that's how he put out his garden. Well, he was gone. He called his neighbor. And he asked him, "Can you put out my peas for me?" He said, "Sure, no problem." Well, his neighbor had a John Deere tricycle. Four rows at a time, whoosh,
and then back. And he planted peace. Oh, did he plant peace. And one day, Daddy called me. He said, now tomorrow morning, I want you to come over here about 5 o'clock. I want you to bring your family with you. You're gonna help me pick peas. So we got over there. They sowed bountifully. And we started, before daybreak, we started picking peas. My son said, I don't ever want to see another black eyed pea in my life. My daddy had a F-100 long bed pickup truck. We filled that bed full of peas. Why? Because he sowed bountifully, and we reaped bountifully. The more you sow, the more you reap. That's logical. Anybody who's ever put out a garden knows that. You put in one grain of corn, you'll get one stalk of corn. But you'll get 2 or 3 ears off that stalk. And how many kernels are on those ears? It's a lot. That's the mathematical answer, a lot. But if you sow a whole row of corn, you're going to get a whole row of stalks. That's the law of God, sowing and reaping. But see, he's not talking about corn. He's not talking about black-eyed peas. Verse 7, every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Hey. It's not of necessity. It's not like, oh, wow, I've got a bill coming up. I better put an extra 10 in the offering. That's grudgingly and of necessity. Yeah. Oh, man, do I really have to? I saw the greatest example of a cheerful giver one day in a church in Selmer, Tennessee. Not Selma, Selmer, S-E-L-M-E-R. Now, it was in Selma, Alabama. I said it was spelled with A, but this is Selmer, Tennessee. They said, they're in their missions conference, they had a 5-gallon jug up here. And they said, okay, it's time for the kids' offering. Those kids spread out, and they talked to every adult. Give me your change. And you learned after about the second or third night not to bring change, because you're going to have to give it to those kids. And they were having such a good time. They were giggling. They were laughing. And they were running up, and they were filling up that 5-gallon jug with change. Not a one of those kids was thinking, wow, I can get an Xbox game with this. No, they look what I've got to give. A cheerful giver. God will bless the church that gives. Right. A cheerful giver.
Man.
Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. What a blessing. What a blessing to see God work in the lives of missionaries and the church. Go back to Philippians chapter 4 one more time. I want to show you something here. In Philippians, we see that God says it is right to give to the work of missions. But then he says, down in verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We like that verse, okay? We like that verse, and we claim that verse. But that verse has a condition. That verse, that promise, is given to a church that supports missions. That church in Philippi gave once and again to Paul's knees while he was in Thessalonica. And then God said, my God shall supply all your need. That promise is given to a church that supported missions. And I believe that promise goes to the individual in that church who supports through that church. That's a great, we all like that verse, but it's with a condition. But you know why? The whole purpose of all this is in verse 20.
Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen.
It glorifies God. Now, I'm not going to get rich through this. Your missionaries aren't going to get rich through this. The missionaries live by faith. We see that in Philippians chapter 4. They live by faith. They don't, brother, who's the missionary going to Alaska again? Helms. I laughed when he said, we're the new weird people. They will always be the new weird people in the town, okay? That's just a given, okay? They'll always be the new weird people. They'll always say, oh yeah, the missionary's in there. But he's not going to get rich. Did you sign a contract with that missionary to say, we will give them a... You didn't?
No.
He went without a contract? Of course he did. And there's not a missionary back there that has a contract.
That's right.
With a church. Or we don't sign contracts for a missionary. The church, our church, we go to church in Cleveland, Tennessee, and they've sent out missionaries. They don't have contracts with that church. They go by faith.
That's right.
Because faith honors God. And by faith, the church. You know, this church couldn't just go down and wire the money through the bank. They had to send Epaphroditus, go look for Paul.
Yeah.
They had enough faith to know that they could find him and get him that offering. Faith. That's why we call it faith promise. We make a promise to God by faith in his word. And God is honored. The word is preached. Churches are started. Souls are saved. Homes are rescued. Oh, you won't have to read very many prayer letters till you'll find how God rescued a family because that church was planted in their neighborhood. Oh, listen, it's worth it. It is worth it. God blesses the church that supports missions. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to thank you for the Foundation Baptist Church and how they have a burden to reach others for Christ. And Lord, I pray now that each member, as you said in 2 Corinthians, like every man, each member would say, this is a way God can be honored, souls can be saved, and churches can be established. Lord, help me to participate so that your name will be uplifted and glorified in all we do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher.